Welcome back, my lovely mutants, to another episode of the Mutation Station. I'm Mish, your chief mutant, and today we're diving into the fascinating world of hypermobility and Marfan syndrome, two genetic traits that have had more influence in our world than you might realize. While they might sound like something out of a superhero movie, like the super stretchy Elastigirl from The Incredibles, they're very real and affect how the body's connective tissues work. I have a son who has hypermobility, and he could swim butterfly so beautifully because he really threw his shoulders out and had really amazing rotation. But I will actually put a trigger warning on this episode because my son inherited his hypermobility from an auntie that I'd never met because she passed away in 1949, but she was only 6 years old. And I will give another warning coming up to the part, but it does involve the murder of a little six-year-old girl. So I will give that trigger warning coming up to it. It will be towards the end. So when we come up to that part, if you don't want to listen, just turn it off at that point, because after that, I'll just give a conclusion anyway. So it'll almost be the end. So I totally get it if you want to turn it off and not listen to a very tragic story. So let's start with the basics. Hypermobility, often called being double jointed, refers to the ability to move joints beyond the typical range of motion. It's not just a cool party trick, though. My son Liam does this really cool thing with his fingers and his toes. And like I mentioned, he could swim butterfly really well by throwing his shoulders out. It is linked to how your body's connective tissues are built. Some people with hypermobility can just live life without much hassle, and it is just a cool party trick and it's just double joints. But for others, especially those with connective tissue disorders like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or Marfan syndrome, it can come with serious health issues. Now, please feel free to DM me on Instagram, the Mutation Station Instagram, if I'm mispronouncing this, because there's nothing worse than somebody having a condition and someone's like mispronouncing the pronunciation. So I apologize if I have. Marfan syndrome is a genetic disorder caused by a mutation in the FBN1 gene, which affects a protein called fibrillin-1, crucial for elastic fibers in connective tissue. This mutation affects various parts of the body, most notably the heart, blood vessels, bones, joints, and eyes. People with Marfan syndrome are often tall and lanky, with long limbs, extraordinarily long limbs, fingers and toes. They also sometimes have a very elongated face and a high forehead. But it's not just about their appearance. Their hearts are at risk too, with complications like aortic aneurysms and heart valve issues, which can be fatal. Now, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS, is a group of genetic disorders affecting connective tissue, which provides strength and flexibility to the skin, joints, blood vessels, and organs. People with EDS often experience joint hypermobility, where the joints move beyond the typical range, leading to frequent dislocations, chronic pain, and skin that is unusually stretchy and fragile. There are 13 types of EDS, with hypermobile EDS being the most common, while vascular EDS can cause life-threatening complications due to the fragility of blood vessels and organs. Unfortunately, there's no cure. EDS can be managed with physical therapy, pain relief strategies, and lifestyle changes aimed at preventing injury and protecting fragile tissues. And sometimes surgery is required as well. I only heard about EDS a few months ago when a friend posted on socials that she actually has it and is managing it. And she's amazing, actually. But that's the first time I heard about it. Now, my favorite part, myths and legend. Throughout history, people with traits associated with Marfan syndrome and hypermobility have appeared in myths and legends. Some have even speculated that Abe Nosseime, a famous onmyoji from Japan, might have had Marfan syndrome due to his extraordinarily tall stature and elongated long limbs. And then, what about the hero Beowulf from Old English literature? Some interpretations suggest their towering frame could have been influenced by traits similar to those found in Marfan syndrome. Now, of course, these are just speculation because they're myths and legends, but it does remind us how physical differences have always been noticed throughout history, sometimes inspiring these tales of heroes and mythological beings. Now, did you know that art too has captured these figures and artists who may have had Marfan syndrome? Some art historians speculate that the great painter El Greco had Marfan syndrome. which could have influenced his famous elongated figures. Look at his work, like The Burial of the Count of Orgaz. You can almost see those long flowing limbs as a reflection of his own. But most notably is his self-portrait, which displays a large elongated forehead and a very long lean face, and also shows his long slender fingers. And another notable example is Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec. He was associated with the movement of the Parisian nightlife and captured many scenes, including circus performers and acrobats. And his works often feature dynamic figures in exaggerated poses. And while he's most famous for his depictions of dancers and cabaret, he actually did do contortionists and acrobats. At the circus, the Spanish Walk, a depiction of circus performers, including contortionists. And then another one aptly named At the Circus, the Dancer and the Contortionist, that speaks for itself. And then Edgar Degas, a leading impressionist who's best known for his depictions of ballet dancers and beautiful bathing scenes, but he also explored circus performance. And in his work, Miss Lala at the Cirque Fernando, portrays a contortionist suspended from the ceiling, capturing the intense physical strain and movement similar to what contortionists exhibit today. Now, in literature and cultural reflections, Marfan syndrome and hypermobility have found their way into that. In Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections, a novel, a character shows traits that resemble Marfan syndrome. And then it's even made its way into pop culture with a subtle nod in the musical Rent, created by Jonathan Larson. He had Marfan syndrome, tragically passed away from an aortic aneurysm, which is a condition often associated with Marfan syndrome. Other notable historical famous people have also possibly had Marfan syndrome. We say possibly because back then they didn't have the medical expertise to diagnose it. But looking back, some historians and medical experts have speculated that some famous people have had it. People like Julius Caesar may have had Marfan syndrome. This theory is primarily based on descriptions of Caesar's physical characteristics and some of the health issues he experienced during his life. So descriptions of Caesar suggest he had a tall, lanky build, which is a common characteristic of Marfan syndrome. He also had that slender, elongated body, but with disproportionately long arms, legs, fingers, and toes. Other historical figures who scientists think may have Marfan syndrome are Tutankhamun. They also have spinal issues. So the way Tutankhamun's spine and the canes and everything that were placed in his tomb, he had elongated limbs and a short back, so that could be a symptom of Marfan syndrome. But also famously is Abraham Lincoln. His long elongated face with a high forehead. He was known for his tall, lanky frame and disproportionately long limbs. Now contemporarily, there's Vincent Schiavelli, an actor known for his roles in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Ghost. And if you can't place him, Google him, and he will be instantly recognizable, not just as an actor, but because he was open about his condition, and it's a great representation of what Marfan syndrome is. He also created a foundation, and it's like people like this that can help bring attention to genetic conditions, reminding us that being different is actually powerful and often inspiring. Culturally, hypermobility and Marfan syndrome have been viewed differently across the world. In some cultures, unusual physical traits were revered, seen as a sign of divine favor or special talents, especially in performance arts. Think about the ancient acrobats or contortionists in Chinese circuses, or even yogic sages in Hindu mythology, whose flexibility and body control could have been influenced by hypermobility. In modern times, while there's more understanding, there can still be stigma, especially in regions with less access to medical care. Thankfully, organizations like the Marfan Foundation and increasing global awareness are helping break down the barriers and offer support to those living with these conditions. Now, this is the trigger warning. I'm going to tell you a story about my six-year-old auntie who was tragically murdered in 1949. So it happened a while ago and I obviously never knew her. She was only six. So please forward or end the podcast now if you don't want to hear this tragedy. It's very, very tragic and very sad, and it is a murder of a little child. So I will only conclude the podcast after this. So if you don't want to listen to this story, end it now. You won't be missing out on anything else. But I just really want to tell this story, not so much because of her you know, hypermobility, and she was a little mutant and that. But I just want to kind of honor her short little life, and that she gave such joy to her friends, but unfortunately was cruelly taken away. So my ancestors, my family were peasants in Croatia, poor and uneducated. They lived in the hills. My grandfather was a giant of a man. He was over 7 foot, and in fact may have had Marfan's due to his like long stature, but he was a monster, drunk and violent. His little daughter, who was born in 1943, was 6 years old in 1949, and she had extreme hypermobility, and she could contort into all types of shapes. And one day, she was entertaining the village kids outside her home, and they were really encouraging her to contort, and they were clapping and cheering for her. My grandfather was inside his hut, drunk and in a very bad mood. He came outside and raged at the children to be quiet, as he was trying to rest. He was very drunk. Everyone in the village was terrified of this man. He was a tower of a man. And there was no local law enforcement, so he just did whatever he pleased. He was violent and abusive to everyone, but especially his poor suffering wife, my grandmother, all of his children, and basically anyone else that crossed his path. And he was like that until his death, basically. After a little time, the village kids gathered again and encouraged little Draga, her name means deer, that was her name, Draga, to do some contortions again, and she complied. This time, my grandfather came out again with a metal pole and beat his little daughter with the pole to the point where her kidney burst, and subsequently, because of that, her genitals burst and she died. It's such a sad, tragic story, and I'm sorry if it upsets anyone, but I wanted to tell this dear little girl's story. She's worth remembering as a little mutant who embraced her uniqueness, and all she was doing was making people laugh and have fun. She was just bringing joy to them, and in that environment, she was murdered. I'd actually love to go back to Croatia and discover more. Were the police informed? What was the record of her death? I know my grandfather was never charged for her murder. He just carried on terrorizing his family and village until he died. And unfortunately, in Croatia, like many European countries, there's no central archive. You have to contact the local municipality, which I did, and then they directed me to various churches in the area. I've contacted them, but the church where I think my family may have been connected to hasn't replied. And so I don't even know if my grandparents were officially married, or I know little Draga has a headstone next to my grandmother's grave, but I don't think she's actually buried there. So there's a lot of mystery about what actually happened, and I would love to go there and actually find out the truth. I don't even know if there would be a record, but I'd just like to go and find out. But one day I'll take the trip to find out more, but I think it's going to be a lotto win until I do. So I'm sorry if that tale was a bit morbid, but I really wanted to just kind of honor her little life as a fellow mutant. And, you know, my son has inherited her hypermobility, and there's that connection there. It's just a sad little story of someone who was extinguished too early just for bringing joy. So to all my fellow mutants out there, remember, embracing what makes us different is what makes us powerful. Don't let anyone ever steal your light. So until next time, stay curious, stay unique, and keep embracing those marvels of mutation. Don't forget, you are perfectly imperfect and mutant. Bye.